Yeah, change is constant, especially in today's AI world, artificial intelligence. Nearly every industry on Earth is responding to what could be and what is, and then what's not going to be with AI. People debate the risks, right? And one of Montana's nonprofits we'll be talking with today, they're looking at it in a different way. They're preparing for it, young women especially. And we've had these folks on before, and it's such a good program, 10 years running now. Really, as it began 10 years ago in the basement of Sykes Diner in Kalispell, Code Girls United. We'll talk about an AI literacy program that they've got going here, an AI panel, which is coming up in Whitefish. But also, it's more about how you integrate AI into the world that these young ladies and all of us will be walking into. And Marianne Smith is with us, Isabel Ashley, as well as Melissa Dunning from Code Girls United today on Voices. AI does present us with some interesting dilemmas, I think. People are wondering, really, how far will it go into our jobs and into our daily lives? You know, there's a lot of people that are seeing some good things from it, but others have concerns about it. And we'll touch on those here a little bit today as we talk about it, but that's not the main focus. Again, we get back to Code Girls United and this program that's an after-school STEM program, science, technology, engineering, and math, and it's free for kids 4th through 12th grades. And we're going to speak, and it leads to good things, too, and that's what we'll talk about here, too. The girls who have coming out of that program have won congressional app challenges. They're presenting at MIT. They're speaking before thousands of people regarding AI and technology. And one of those gals with us here today. So let's introduce our first two guests. Marianne Smith is the CEO and founder of Code Girls United. Just some 10 years ago, that business education for girls in rural and tribal communities. Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm great, Tom, and how are you doing? And thank you so much for having us today.
Guys are doing a lot of stuff, and it's really cool, and it's fun to keep tabs on what's going on here, too. And so there are some things to talk about a bit later on, the AI panel, but you guys are kind of putting together an AI program, so to speak, and you have an intern, a girl who joined your program, you know, at the very start of it some 10 years ago as well. It's Ashley, or Isabel Ashley. Good morning, Isabel. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Hanging in there. I know you guys, I was just up in the Kalispell area, went to Sykes Diner yesterday, for that matter. So it's really cool to see the origins there, in community. Marianne, tell us about this AI panel. Tell us about what you and Isabel are putting together.
Yeah, well, we started working on this early last year, and it's free on YouTube. This isn't the panel. This is our AI Academy.
Yep.
And what we have is a series of videos explaining what AI is, and then we go into some panel discussions about the ethics of AI and basically concerns that a lot of people have and how that's affecting the girls. And this is a big part of it, is how it affects the girls and the concerns that they have. So it's not just adults giving information to them. But Isabel's been really critical on creating our AI Academy and super helpful. And again, she's been with us since the beginning. So it's just a full circle moment with her.
Yeah. Isabel, talk about this. The program itself that you're trying to put together and you being, an integral part of the students of this program as well. What are you trying to accomplish for future students like yourself with this AI Academy?
Yeah, so I think this is going to be super valuable because I obviously did not grow up with resources like this. So it's been interesting navigating being a college student with AI being so prevalent now and learning how to use it as a tool and not for like cheating or anything like that. So I think this program is going to be super helpful for girls who are growing up with AI to learn how to use it responsibly.
What do you think are some of the first things that they need to know or they need to learn about how to incorporate AI responsibly in their lives?
Yeah, I think they need to recognize that it is just a tool. It doesn't have a brain. It's not your friend. So you have to be careful with that and make sure that you are still using your own brain to think about, like, think through problems and solve things. But AI is a very helpful tool in addition to your brain, but you do still need to have your own thinking involved.
Yeah, and Marianne, weigh in here, too. Weigh in on the value of having someone who's been a part of your program all through the beginning of it here as well, as a student, now as an intern as well, helping you develop this AI Academy.
Yeah, it's been really great. In fact, Isabel today is teaching an AI and cybersecurity camp that we have up here in Kalispell this week, and she's teaching it, and she put the curriculum together. So it's been really great to have somebody who started and has gone through our programs, through our regular like coding programs that we do and business programs, and then turn around and have her teach. She also taught our fourth to eighth grade program at Montana State in the engineering building.
Gosh, that's pretty cool. That looks good on your resume already, Isabel. So you're going to, and that's why you've got to leave here, I suppose, about 9:18 or thereabouts. So what are you teaching? What is going to be like your lesson plan for today? Just give us a glimpse of that.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about a little bit about what cybersecurity is, go into that a little bit, and then our AI portion. We have three main things that we want the girls to take away from this camp. AI is not your friend, as I mentioned before. AI is a mirror, so it tells you what you want to hear. And AI is not always right, so we always have to double check what it tells us before we take it as fact.
What are people your age, thinking, where do they think AI is going to take them? I know we're all still trying to kind of figure it out, and it's new on us, and it's moving pretty fast as well. So there's a lot of things to consider here. But as you talk with some of the youngsters as well, are they concerned about it? And do you share those concerns?
Yeah, I think a lot of my peers are concerned just about what the future of the workforce is. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of figuring it out as we go. If jobs are going to look the same or different, I think they're going to look a little different, but I do think we are still going to be able to find jobs. So I think people are concerned about that, but also hopeful for the future. I know for these younger girls, I don't know if they're really thinking ahead as far, but
right.
Yeah, I think it's good for them to learn while they're young.
Well, and that's, one of the beautiful things about your experience through all of that is now that you're mentoring these students, you were in their shoes pretty much every step of the way here. How does that help you? You're attending Montana State University, I believe, right? Computer science. So,
yeah.
You don't have a teaching degree. But all of this is very valuable in that. What's your perspective?
Yeah, I think it's been super cool to be able to grow up through the program and now be able to teach it. It was such a good experience for me, and I really want that for other girls. I didn't really even know what computer science was before I started with
Well, I don't know what happened there. Sometimes when you're talking, it was actually they just kind of accidentally hung up. They'll probably call back here in a second, and we've got a breakup coming as well. Unfortunately, we're probably going to lose Isabel because she does have this camp, and we'll talk more about that camp as well. She's calling right back. Let's get her on and take that final 2 minutes as we can. Good morning. Is this Isabel again?
Yes. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. I do that all the time. Sit there and the phone hangs up on me because my cheek touched it or something. Hey, Isabel, I know you got to go, so I'm glad you called right back. And I want to hear that, how you're relating your experience to the classroom, so to speak.
Yes. So when I started in the program, I was 10 years old, and I was super shy. So it was super cool to be able to learn more about coding. Obviously now that's what I would like to have as my future career. So it was super cool that I got to have that opportunity, and I love being able to provide that opportunity to other girls who might also be interested in computer science or some other STEM field. So
well,
it's been a really cool experience.
And recently you got up in a conference in San Francisco There were about 5,000 people there. You talked about data centers, which is a pretty heady topic for anybody right now. What was that like, especially as you noted, coming in, kind of being shy, and now you're speaking in front of 5,000. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, when I was 10, I definitely would never have thought that I would be in front of that many people speaking. But it was a super cool experience. I think it was very valuable. A lot of people were very thankful for us coming to talk about it. We talked a lot about the community aspect of people being concerned about data centers coming into their areas and how data center companies maybe could communicate better and could come to a more reasonable agreement on data center building and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think those are a couple of things that are really right out there in front for people to, especially the data center people. You got to get more transparent about what these are going to look like. And I know how difficult that is. Look, you've been with this program 10 years. And this is a hard question because AI is changing things. Technology is changing things. But you guys knew that. And that's one of the reasons why I think you wanted to be a part of this program. What do you see in the next 10 years for Code Girls United?
Yeah, I hope that we only continue to grow and reach more girls. I think we are doing great work, and I would love for more girls to have the opportunity to learn and be a part.
Well, and now you're off to teach them. So that's doing. Very good, Isabel. Thank you. I appreciate you. And congratulations on all the successes as well. I know that there are more things to talk about here in terms of apps you've created and all that process, but it's just really encouraging to chat with you and know that you're on this journey, and folks like Marianne and others have helped you through the way. So good luck, and we'll chat with you down the road, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
So much going on in STEM education today, science and technology, engineering and mathematics. A lot of the focus, though, winds up into AI and what's that going to be moving forward. Code Girls United was developed like 10 years ago. It was a free after-school program to introduce more females, young females, to the sciences and to coding. Because Marianne Smith, who now is the co-founder and head of the program as well, joins us, former NASA engineer as well, and taught computer sciences at Flathead Valley Community College, still with us. And Marianne, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. It just seems like AI has jumped onto the scene and dominated the scene, so to speak. And I guess there's a reason for that, because it's very, very powerful tool. But I've got questions for you about, you know, what 10 years down the road, Code Girls United. I mean, you've got 39 programs. You've had 4,300 plus happy students over the years. You guys are doing scholarships. You're getting recognition for your apps program as well. I'm not sure you envisioned this, or maybe you did, but it's been pretty successful. And just 10 years in, what are you doing now, right?
Yeah, what's the next step, and where do we go? I think that, there was no vision for this in the beginning. I mean, it was just something that I felt was important to do because I didn't have very many females in my courses. And it was, well, where's the problem? Where's the link that's not happening? And part of that has to do with computer science in Montana schools. We rank at the bottom for computer science education for all states right now. And it's been that way for a little while. And I think that is part of the, you know, all of a sudden now we have AI and everything's about AI and what do we do about it? And we just don't have the capacity within the state to educate students on more than just this is a tool and you use it, but like, how do you use it? How do you use it ethically? What's the right way? What's the wrong way? And the other thing, which Isabel's class is talking about tomorrow, has to do with cognitive development. You know, how do we use AI and not impair people's thinking and especially young people's thinking? So that's I think that's kind of a concern on the more on the educational side. But it's been a really interesting last 10 years, and we never in a million years expected it to grow the way that it's grown. But again, you know, we're doing really great. We're on the some reservations. We'd like to get on more, hit all of the reservations in the state. We'd like to do more on the eastern side of the state. So, you know, really spreading out. We've done Sydney before, but we, you know, Miles City and Glendive and some of the areas over there where we really haven't had the chance so much to target. So I think in the future, that'll be a part of it. And again, our focus is on rural and tribal. And rural and tribal communities are always left behind in a way of new technologies and new things that are happening. And you can see it in some of the cities. There's more educational resources for things. But when you get out into the rural part of the state, they just don't have the funding or capacity to do a lot. So that's where there's a huge gap. And there's kids that go into engineering from the middle of the country or the middle of the state. And they're just amazing because, you know, they know how to problem solve because that's what they do, maybe on ranches or maybe as a part of, you know, where they're living, that they're doing that all the time. And that's really the big thing of what we are is problem solvers.
Yeah, you know, and it seems like AI is, I don't know if it's new because, you guys have been through the last 10 years where there's been a lot of science and technological and engineering developments, and AI is part of that as well. There's ethical questions though that come with this, and so I'm curious, you know, like schoolwork and Isabel, who's now a college student as well as a teacher in your program there as well, talked about that, and you mentioned as well cognitive development, but there's also workforce issues, and it's sort of we're all trying to imagine a new world here. A little bit,
yeah,
and where all the pieces are going to fit, so to speak. Do fourth through 12th graders? That's who the program is developed for, and I know there's a varied range there. But how do you approach ethical questions? Are kids nowadays are they more apt to consider things ethically?
I do think so. I think that the kids that we deal with, especially there's a concern, especially, you know, for the environment, and they have a lot more questions. But, you know, what a big part of what we're doing with AI is very different because we want the kids to understand AI. We want them to question it, and then we have them create with it. So we have a three-prong approach to our AI programs. But I think that level of understanding is so important for the kids to understand exactly what it is. And I can tell you, adults that I know tend to anthropomorphize AI. You know, they'll call it a name and they talk to it like it's a person. And if adults are having a problem discerning whether AI is a person or not, can you imagine? We have these kids and they are even having a harder time making that discernment on having it be, you know, that there's a person. They think it's a person on the other side of the screen. And I think that that's one thing that we can really give kids and we need to give them. Again, I know Isabel talked about it, but it's my three rules is that AI is not your friend. It's a mirror. It's going to tell you what you want to hear. It's not going to tell you to clean your room. And that it's not always right. So you have to always be checking it. But I think, you know, a concern about cheating and that sort of thing. Listen, people who are going to cheat are going to cheat. I think that what kids need to understand is how to use it to help you study. We have another intern, Emma, who was using it to create a bunch of different guides for studying and then tests. She had it create some tests for her. So based on the notes that she took from her class, and that's where AI could be really helpful. And that's as a student, that's a super, it's just a great use. But, you know, in a classroom setting, if you want somebody to write an essay, are people going to cheat? I don't know. Maybe it's time to go back to the old blue books. I don't know if you remember.
I do. Yes.
Having kids write their essay within class and give them a blue book like in the olden days. But I do think you know, for doing some research, it's a great tool. But again, you have to check it to make sure that it's right. Kind of gathering your thoughts, it's a fabulous tool for doing study guides and tests to prepare for looking, you know, what you're going to be tested on. I think it's a wonderful tool. But again, you know, it's a tool, and it's the tool that we have that's upcoming right now. I think we talked about this before. It reminds me a lot of when the internet came out, but at a much, much faster speed. So when the internet came out, everybody wanted a website. You got to do the stuff on your website, blah, blah, blah. And then over time, people integrated websites into a lot of what you do for work. You know, like us, our registration is online. It's all done through a website. It's not done through a paper form. Mm-hmm. But that was over time. I think the AI world has just come on like a bull.
You know? Yeah.
It's racing in and trying to keep up with it. But
let me ask you this. What are and Marianne Smith is with us again, founder and CEO of Code Girls United, codegirlsunited.org, for more information. You've got a lot of programs, and we'll kind of get into some of those as well and just try to finish up here, because it is on everybody's minds, especially parents. What should parents be concerned with, or how do they lead their children and their families and themselves through this?
Yeah, I think, again, going back to my three rules, is they need to talk to their kids. You know, this is this AI thing. This is, again, it's almost like screen time. Like, how much screen time are you going to allow your kids to have? But the other question too is, like, parents need to look at what their kids are doing online and exactly how they're using games and all those sorts of things, because AI is now being incorporated a lot of this. And super example, Netflix, right? You go to Netflix and you want to watch a show. It's AI that's giving you recommendations based on your previous searches. So when your kids are doing anything online, look at, okay, what kind of information are they sharing? How much do I want to let them share? And by the way, that information is going to be used to target them with either advertising or something in a game or whatever it is. But I think parents really need to just pay more attention to what their kids are doing online. And also explain to the kids, you know, this isn't a person there that's over there. And it's a, again, you know, we've had these problems where kids are going for mental health resources and going to AI for that. Mm. And instead of talking to their parents or talking to, you know, a trusted adult that they have. So I think that that's a huge gap too, is that parents need to talk to their kids and say, you know, if there's a problem, come to me first.
Code Girls United, there's some camps going on right now. There's an AI panel coming up in August for youngsters. And this is what's cool about this program. Welcome back to Voices of Montana. Is that this is also from Montana and for Montana, going on now 10 years. An after school program. It is free females, kids, fourth through 12th grade, so students along that line. And there are a lot of programs that have developed out of this. Marianne Smith joins us again, one of our friends of the program as well, but founder and CEO of Code Girls United. We've been talking about it for a few years. Marianne, thank you for coming on again and for what you're doing, because, you know, as you come back on, we hear these kids creating real world solutions to problems that I think some adults would even avoid if they could, you know. So I like how you guys approach it all. And let's welcome Melissa Dunning, too, Fund Development Director for Code Girls United, to talk more about these programs. And then the support for them, too, because that has been pretty cool. Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for coming alongside. Marianne, where do you want to start? Do we want to go back to some of these programs? Because as we talked a little bit about, you know, you don't always have to figure everything out. You just start walking out, and then some of those directions kind of become apparent to you. Did that happen here?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. We started with the first program, and it went well, and then we decided, well, we'll put a curriculum together, and then that ended up busting out, and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and we kept going to more and more locations, and
and folks that really wanted us, people that needed some STEM sort of after-school programming and had girls that were really interested. And next thing you know, and for example, Billings is actually, the Billings area has more programs and is bigger than the Flathead area where we started.
Mm-hmm. And I think over time as well, Tom, the program started out as an avenue for girls to directly have a way to get into like STEM careers and really to be able to go in that direction. And as things have evolved and changed over time, we've really realized in the state of Montana, there are so many skills that our girls are not getting exposure to that are required for any industry that they're getting into now because of how prevalent it is to have computer science, coding, AI, a part of your everyday job in every industry. And so we every year review the curriculum, integrate new things, and that's been one thing that Marianne has really brought is how the program has evolved over time, where it now it's not necessarily specifically for girls who just want to get into STEM. It's really all girls in the state of Montana need access to the opportunities and the skills that we're exposing them to.
Well, and it's free online. The AI Academy is free online. We'll talk about that. Melissa Dunning, I want to ask you that question about, because as the fund development director, you're talking about these kids and these programs and getting communities engaged in them, getting sponsors engaged in them. You get to brag, essentially. You get to brag about these programs to people who are curious and want to support them.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? Right. What does that sound like?
You know, honestly, the best way to brag about our girls is to just give them a microphone and ask them questions, because it is amazing their ability to hold their own. And it really does showcase how much confidence they gain in our program. And so really for me, one of the main things that I brag about with our girls is just how confident they become in their ability to use the skills they've learned to solve problems. We had a fundraiser locally here in Whitefish last week, and we were able to showcase some of our older students as well as a younger student. And it is incredible how those girls can hold their own in a room of 50 women. They are able to hold their own, answer questions, speak confidently, speak intelligibly about, you know, things that a lot of women in the room have no idea what they're even talking about to a certain degree. And they're sharing passionately a solution that they created to a community problem they care about. And in our group in Whitefish, they created an app called Helpful Housing that helps to find affordable housing solutions. And it really just incredibly well thought out, incredibly designed. These girls are just so confident and well spoken in the area that they have done their market research in. And so that's really what we share is, hey, here's what our girls have done. They couldn't do it before. All we did was gave them the opportunity and exposure to the skills, and look what they do. That's really all they need. And so that's the biggest way that we brag about our programs is, look what our girls do. Talk to them, and you can tell.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. Did you want to weigh in there, Marianne?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And we do more than, you know, our name is Code Girls United, but we do so much more. One of the skills that Melissa was talking about is learning how to make a presentation and learning how to defend your work in front of adults. And even most adults, you know, what's the scariest thing that you can think of? Probably not you, Tom, but speaking in front of people is always like terrifying for most people. So if you learned that when you were in fourth grade, can you imagine what you could do in your career or your life, how things would change for you? So I think that, again, you know, we're more than just a technical program. We're also confidence building, exactly like Melissa said. And all these kind of skills that you need in any business, any career that you go into, if you can get up in front of people and talk, I mean, that's such a huge workplace training, just a fabulous thing to have.
Absolutely. And life skills in general, being able to look at your community, think about the issues, the problems that are there, and think about how you could use the skills that you have to address and help with that community issue. And that is part of our program. That is the way that our girls learn every year. They get in a team and they choose a community issue they care about. They come up with a business plan. They do market research. They do a prototype. They build this app as a team because they are, again, reflecting on how they could address that issue with the skills that they have learned. And that is something that in our communities, especially, you know, rural and tribal areas, a lot of times we are without a lot of resources that bigger cities, you know, metropolitan areas have. And so a lot of times we are working as a community to solve those issues. And so our girls are learning firsthand how to do that. And it's so important and just such a really important part of our programming.
Yeah. And I appreciate how, you know, it's not just simply writing code, it's problem solving. And I think in that problem solving process, you have to learn or somehow teach that you got to consider all the inputs, so to speak, to come up with some solutions. I think that's a very important skill as well. Part of those 39 programs, we got to kind of get into this a little bit, Marianne. Maybe talk about some of that. Some of those, as you noted, went kind of from career orientation to skills orientation. I can see why some of those programs then expanded. But what's the buzz? What's the buzz?
The buzz is, of course, AI. But we do have programs. We have our fourth to eighth grade programs, and that's what we call our beginner programs, where we're going through exactly what Melissa said. We focus on technical skills, then switch and do the business side. And then, again, they make a presentation at our App Challenge every year for scholarship prizes. That's why we have, I think it was 127 scholarships that we've been able to give out so far. But then we also have summer camps. We have Coding Groovy Unicorns, which is, I think all the camps are done now. That's for our fourth through sixth graders. And then we have our AI and cyber camp. It's a full day of camp. And I think this week is our last one of those in, around the state. We had three or four of them this year. And I think we had maybe six Coding Groovy Unicorn camps. They're just week-long camps. And then we have our advanced program, which is for girls that are show technical competency and have the social skills to be able to move up. And in that class, we're actually doing the first class for the university system in computer science. It's called The Joy and Beauty of Computing. So we do that, but they also go back and those girls are making projects too. We participate, girls seventh and up participate in the Congressional App Challenge, which we've won in the state now for the last 6 years. The 1 year that we didn't win prior to that, someone copied an app from the year before that our girls won.
Oh.
But we do that. And we also participate in the Presidential AI Challenge, which just started up this past year. And we had a team out of Billings that won that.
I've got to take a break, but stand by, because I want to come back about how we support all of this and how, as you say, you're reaching out to rural communities an awful lot. I mean, of course, everywhere in Montana is rural or frontier. You're in a lot of places, and I think you're anticipating to serve some 900 girls in this next upcoming school year. That's no small amount. During the mid-90s, 35% of computer science jobs were filled by women. 30 years later, that was only 24%. That was one of the things that inspired Marianne Smith and others to create Code Girls United in Montana. It has grown tremendously. They've served some 4,300 students in 10 years, and now this year, maybe some 900 girls through the 26-27 school year. That's an awful lot. Marianne Smith is with us, CEO and founder, and Melissa Dunning as well is with us, Fund Development Director. Melissa, I'm going to throw that one to you, okay? About 900 girls. I mean, how do you get support to serve that many kids throughout the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just like we work in, you know, local, rural, tribal communities, you know, to serve those girls, we also, we rely on those communities for support. We have volunteers in every single classroom. We train a local volunteer, either someone who has taught before or someone who wants to work in our program. We train them on our curriculum. that is so vital, is the volunteers and people being involved in our programs. And it's the same way, it's the same thing for funding all of our work. Our programs are free of cost. We never ask anything for our programs. And so we rely on community support. We rely on our local foundations, whether they're family foundations or, you know, corporate foundations. Local businesses sponsor our app challenge every year. So, and then we also, you know, every now and then we are fortunate enough to be able to work with, for example, MIT. We got a grant from MIT Solve a few years ago, and we got some from the Open AI Foundation. But locally here in the state, you know, the Gianfortes are big supporters of us every year and have been since the beginning. We work with the Whitefish Community Foundation and other local community foundations that support our work. Also, we rely on our parents. When we do events, our parents are involved. They purchase tickets. They help us get silent auction and raffle items. And that list could just go on and on and on. But really, just like we are community-based programs, our support has to come from our communities, and that's what we rely on every year to keep it going. So we have no shortage of ways that people can help become involved and support our work with our young ladies.
Well, and I think Marianne is, I got 2 minutes left here. You know, Cody Ross and his young daughter had been a part of Code Girls United this last year, and you can just see the excitement. You can just see the progress and the buy-in on all of that as well. So there's no question behind it outside of, you know, observe for us, you know, what this is doing for kids and families as they kind of journey through this together, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I think I wanted to bring up, since we only have a little bit of time left, you know, Kathy Eckert out of Billings has been running she's our chief program officer now. And we've got a new program in Livingston coming up.
Yeah,
that's a new addition for us. And again, volunteering. We actually pay teachers to teach our program. So we pay them a stipend. If you're a teacher, it's a great opportunity to learn a new skill and get paid to do it. Mm-hmm. Specifically, I'm going to tell you, at Kalispell Middle School, we could really use a teacher right now. But I know Melissa wants to talk about some of our fundraising, especially like our tea time.
Do.
In Highlands.
So in Billings on September 12th, it is our second annual tea time at Highlands. So it will be at Highlands Golf Club there in Billings. And this is a wonderful opportunity for, number one, to have a great, you know, tea time, tea party experience for everyone in the family. And also, but it is a fundraiser for our program, so you'll get to know more about our programs if you have someone who's interested, if you want to become a volunteer or just become more knowledgeable about our programs. Tickets are online on our website, which is codegirlsunited.org. We would love to have people in the Billings area present and supporting that. Again, it's in Billings on September 12th, and we do have discounted tickets for current or former Co-Girls students. Everyone is welcome.
Where's your August AI panel at?
Our AI discussion panel is called Our Youth in the Age of AI. That one is going to be in Whitefish at the O'Shaughnessy Center, 5 p.m. on August 27th. And that is going to be a wonderful community discussion. We're going to be fielding questions from the community, from people who purchase tickets. It's only a $20 ticket. We will have a happy hour before and then go into the discussion panel.
Great.
Michael Gogan, who is...
Hey, Melissa, we're going to be out of time here, so thank you for
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
More information, codegirlsunited.org. It's Melissa Dunning and Marianne Smith. Thank you both for what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Tom. You're the best.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.